Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's hour two. We're live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio and right here, FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me. Greg Cosell in a couple of minutes. Football season begins tonight. The Kansas City Chiefs host the Houston Texans, the two highest paid quarterbacks, right? Patrick Mahomes is at the beginning of a dynasty against Deshaun Watson. Can he be more than a great player and a great highlight player? Can he win big games later in the year? Tonight's a big game. How does Deshaun Watson look? Certainly doesn't have the support system right now. Patrick Mahomes does. Joy Taylor, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. NFL is back. I honestly can't get over it. Yeah. It's amazing.
It really is. I may let this beard grow. It appears to be growing faster with the football season.
Well, you know, it's fall.
So when Baker Mayfield came out, I was very critical of his judgment. I thought he was a good talent and a great prospect. And so when I said, everybody has a comp, right? Like I said, when Andrew Luck came out, I said his comp is John Elway. And you laughed at it, but the first 5 years, it looked like John Elway. And everybody's got a comp. And I said with Baker, everybody was given these grandiose comps. And I said, I think his comp is Case Keenum with a better arm. He's got a better arm than Case. Athletic ability, size. Case is more mature. Baker's got a better arm, but it kind of looks the same to me. That was considered clickbait and outrageous. They're now on the same team. And about a week ago, there was a scrimmage for the Browns. I'd like to read you what Mary Kay Cabot reported. Here's what happened at the scrimmage. Mayfield got a slight wake-up call a couple of weeks ago. His first team offense lost the scrimmage to Case Keenum in the second team offense. And Mayfield was working against the second team defense. And Keenum, who had the second team offense, was facing the first team defense. Oh, by the way, the session ended with Baker throwing a pick in a goal line situation. Oh, is that clickbait? Now, I think Baker's going to have a good year. But I think Case Keenum, if he was starting today with this roster, would have a good season. And if Baker does go 11-5, don't send me your tweets, because Case Keenum went 13-3 a couple years ago when he had talent. Ask yourself this, who do you trust? I trust Vegas, Foxbet, people that are in the gaming space. The Browns, with all this talent, have an over-under of 8.5. If Case Keenum was announced the starter today, you really think it would drop precipitously? I mean, if you had a great quarterback with these weapons, like Mahomes, it would be 11.5. Aaron Rodgers, 11. Russell Wilson, 11, 11.5. With all these weapons, Noah's Ark, two of everything, the over-under in Cleveland with Baker is 8.5. And that's guaranteeing two wins easily over Cincinnati. If Case Keenum's a starter tomorrow, what do you think? It drops to what? 6? Nah. Case Keenum won 13 games a couple years ago with Minnesota. I am not saying Case is better than Baker. What I am saying is what you viewed as a clickbait. Now they play together, scrimmaging. It's not crazy. Baker is talented, but he's not top 6, 7, 8, 9. We got to slow down. Never was. We got to slow down on that. All right. I know a football season is official when I bring Greg Cosell on. This is like Christmas without the snow and the chill. Greg Cosell, 41 years at NFL Films, is joining us by the phone today. I can't even believe, my wife said this. She goes, it's going to be so weird to watch Tom Brady in an orange uniform and Bill Belichick is not on the sideline. And my wife doesn't even like sports. And listen, I don't recall what you had said. I mean, Tom's obviously got a lot of weapons. The running back position is much better today than it was a year ago in Tampa. But I do look at Brady as not much of a playmaker now, more of he's excellent when in terms of efficiency. So, but this offense has some deep threats and downfield throw guys. How do you think it all looks early, Greg, Tampa Bay, Tom, and these weapons?
Well, assuming everybody's healthy, Colin, I think that it will be a very interesting mix of Bruce Arians' approach, which is being aggressive and pushing the ball down the field, and what Brady does really well, which is a lot of play action, quick game. We saw what they did in New England the last number of years, all those bang play action throws in the middle of the field. He certainly has tight ends to work with. Godwin is phenomenal, working between the numbers, very strong, very physical. So the parts are in place to run both an Arians offense and a Tom Brady offense. And Arians has been doing this a long time, and I think he'll mix and match, and it will end up being a very, very effective offense. But I just want to say one thing. You said something that fascinated me about being efficient versus being a playmaker. Do we believe now that you cannot be a high-level NFL quarterback if you're not, quote-unquote, a playmaker? In other words, a Mahomes, a Watson, players who make plays outside of the structure of the play call and the design of the play. Is that now absolutely part of the game? In other words, are we not going to see Tom Brady's and Drew Brees's and Philip Rivers anymore?
I think the way the game has changed, they will still win games. But when you face a Mahomes and you do not have that element in your game, and Mahomes and the young quarterbacks are increasingly efficient and make plays, I'm not saying it's going away, but the structure, the rules, I think the added playmaking with increased efficiency, because I think Mahomes will just get more efficient over time.
I would agree.
I think it's going to be, I'm not saying Jared Goff can't win games, but if I get Mahomes' efficiency and the over-the-top playmaking, boy, that's a rough obstacle, right?
No, and I'm not disputing that, but it's interesting that Jared Goff was in a Super Bowl 2 years ago, did not win, obviously. Jimmy Garoppolo was in the Super Bowl last year, didn't win, but played reasonably well. That's a question that I've spent all summer as I've broken down at home while I was, you know, as we all were at home, I was anyway. I watched probably 20 quarterbacks did deep dives, and it's a question every single day watching tape. I kept going back and forth in my head as to the evolution of the quarterback position and where we're going.
Yeah. You know, it's really funny. So Pete Carroll, big at USC, and then he goes to Seattle and he wins a Super Bowl, and we have just anointed Pete as he is the, you know, he's just tremendous. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. But now analytics are coming in. Now the Wolves are sharpening their teeth, and people are saying, listen, they run the football too much. Russell Wilson has to. It's kind of a Jurassic offense at times. The offensive line play has not been good. And Wilson seems like, increasingly, Russell is saving a very outdated offense. Is that a fair criticism when you look at film of Pete Carroll and what their dimensions offensively?
Well, here's the way I would answer that question. And I love Russell Wilson. I think he's going to be the league MVP this year. I love the player. But for years now, I think he's been in the league 8 years.
Yeah.
So they've had the same head coach, but they've had two different coordinators. And they've chosen to play this way from day one.
Yes.
So the question is why? And only Pete Carroll can really answer that. So are they playing this way because Pete Carroll is beholden to a philosophy, no matter who the quarterback is? Or are they playing this way because, as good as we all think Russell Wilson is, and there's no question he's really good, that's not my point, but that they believe that they get the best out of Russell Wilson playing this way, and if they were to quote-unquote let him loose, as a lot of people are saying, that would somehow diminish his play. So they're with him every day, Colin. We're not. So I don't know the answer to that, but they've chosen to play this way for all 8 years that Russell Wilson's been in the league.
Yeah. It's driving some people crazy. I'm one of them.
No, I love Rob. Believe me, I love Russell Wilson. I mean, this is a team, they get their big plays in two ways. They go max pro, and they push the ball down the field in normal down and distance situations, or Russell Wilson moves around and is as good as there is in making those second reaction improvisational plays. But they are not a team that comes out throwing the ball.
They're not.
This team is built, as you said, there's no mystery to their offense. It's run the ball with base runs, play action, and play action boot. That's what their offense is.
So I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers. 2 years ago, there was a discussion. I did not buy into it, but it was a narrative and a discussion on talk shows. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, which is the GOAT? To which I said, I don't think it's really close. I think Montana, Peyton Manning, Elway, you can argue people. I need more of Aaron. I need more years. Now we see three straight years of Aaron's declining passer rating and completion percentage. Now, it's always the push-pull, the egg, you know, we always ask about that. Is it Green Bay's front office doesn't give him weapons? Or is it Aaron, who's not coachable? I do think they have a star receiver, a star back, and a way above average offensive front. When you now in your offseason look at Aaron Rodgers and we point fingers at the decline, what do you see?
Well, and I've talked about this with you for years. And I think when you look at Aaron Rodgers, you see a player who is supremely talented, capable of making outside of structure plays at the highest level in the game, can make any throw to any part of the field from any body position, any platform, throwing platform. But, and this is not an interpretation, this is what the tape tells you, there are a lot of throws within structure that he leaves on the field. And he now has a coach whose background is somewhat Kyle Shanahan, who believes in pure structure, that the scheming of the offense dictates how the quarterback is going to play and where he throws the football. And I don't know what's in Aaron Rodgers' head, Kyle, and neither do you, I'm sure, but maybe he struggles with that. I don't know the answer to that, but I can tell you that the film shows that there are too many throws that he leaves on the field. I think he only threw three touchdowns last year off play action. Someone can easily check that. But in an offense, in a Matt LaFleur offense, that's a very, very low number.
Well, their draft showed you they have questions about him. That certainly for sure didn't give them another wide.
It also told you, by the way, how they see their offense. They drafted another back who I know is third on the depth chart right now, Dylan, as the season starts, but he'll play. And then they drafted in the third round a kid from Cincinnati, Josiah DeGora, who essentially is a Kyle Juszczyk type player.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Matt LaFleur is telling you how he sees his offense.
Let's go to Jimmy G, 21-5 as a starter, but I can't deny that Kyle Shanahan took the ball out of his hands in key playoff spots. And I have said it's very important that your coach trusts you. I didn't feel like at the end of the year he did. Is that fair?
No, I think they're a highly schemed offense, and I think that Garoppolo's at his best when he's rhythmic in his drop, his set in his delivery. I think he's a really good fit for that. See, this is the classic case of scheme versus quarterback. You know, it's a really well-schemed offense. So when Garoppolo executes the offense well, people don't say, oh, Garoppolo is good. They say Kyle's really well-schemed. So, and then Garoppolo, if he has a bad moment, then they say, oh, Garoppolo's not very good. You can't really have it both ways. I think Garoppolo has the mentality and mindset of a pocket quarterback. He plants and delivers. He'll sit there in the pocket late in the down on his back foot, and with that compact delivery, he'll make throws.
Yep.
He can make throws without stepping with his front foot, so he can be patient in the pocket. He was very good on third down. He trusted the scheme. He turned it loose. You know, in some ways, it's like saying if a basketball coach, you know, gets guys open jump shots, are we blaming the guy hitting the open jump shots? Are we saying, well, he's not very good? You know, this is a well-schemed offense that Garoppolo executes well. Is he Patrick Mahomes? No, he's not Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't have that kind of ability. But he's a very efficient pocket player in a well-schemed offense. And don't forget, he doesn't have a ton of experience. He's still growing.
Yeah. By the way, I was saying this earlier to start the show today, is that, you know, we forget with Mahomes. He was only 11th in completion percentage, 7th in passer rating, and only had 8 touchdown passes last 6 games. He admitted he just learned to read a defense. There's a lot of meat on the bone. I think we're just seeing the beginning of him. I think what we see with Jared Goff, this is what he is, a beautiful deep ball thrower with a nice touch. I look at Mahomes and I think we could have a lot more. He could go to another level. Is that hyperbolic, or do you buy some of that?
No, I think that he'll get better. You know, it's interesting. And this is a great conversation. I don't know the answer to this. The other kinds of things I think about with quarterbacks. Will Mahomes, as he advances, be less likely to be a second reaction player? In other words, always have that in his back pocket as a parachute because he's capable of it, but will he become even more efficient from the pocket and stay in the pocket more because he'll see things quicker, better, and deliver the football? You know, that's the thing. As you get older and play in the league longer and learn more and digest more, do you end up being far more efficient from the pocket? Because there's no question he's a great thrower of the football. You know, now he moves around a lot. So it's a great question. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. All right, our big play of the week, obviously, will go back to last year, and it does include Sir Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and I chose this play because it was the first possession of the third quarter in the AFC playoff game last year between the Chiefs and the Texans, obviously playing tonight. And the Texans had come out in this game and played almost all man-to-man coverage in the first half. So they come out in the third quarter, and let's run the play right now. They come out in the third quarter on the first possession, the Texans do, and they end up playing zone, cover two. And here's a 48-yard completion to Sammy Watkins. And the reason I chose this play is because it had so many cool elements. See, the Texans showed man-to-man initially. You see the five-on-five, just as they had done the entire first half. This looks like man coverage. And then if you focus your attention on three specific defenders, you can see that these guys will move in such a way that it becomes cover two, and they move just before the snap after everything has been all set. So now what happens is man-to-man became cover two. The Texans rotated. And don't forget, they played zone man the entire half. Then you look at the corner up top, another cover two corner. So Watkins is just running a corner route. Now, this is a great route to run against cover two because it's in a void. And Mahomes sees it instantly. This is why I love this play, Colin, because Mahomes saw this instantly after spending the whole first half having to defeat man. He sees zone, and they rotate to zone. It was disguise and late movement, and yet he saw that instantly. So it kind of plays off what we were just talking about, his ability to recognize, his ability to eliminate and isolate and make the right throw.
God, what's amazing, he had to do it in about half a second.
And that's playing quarterback.
No kidding. That's a good piece of tape. Greg Cosell, great talking to you. We'll speak soon.
All right. Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
That was really what Cosell does at his best right there, is that this whole game is just trying to deceive the quarterback. I'm watching the tape, and I'm like, oh, that's man-to-man. Three steps back by the right corner, and you're like, oh, coverage changed. It changes the entire play. Mahomes picks up on it instantly, boom, goes to the right side. Like that. That is what makes this game so incredible. It's just so much mental aptitude. Can you figure stuff out fast? And Mahomes admitted by the end of the year, he figured out how to. Russell Wilson said, year three, light went on. Everything slows down. This is a hard league. That's why it's so amazing to see all these young quarterbacks flourishing year two. It used to be, you know, I mean, Peyton Manning in year four threw a zillion interceptions. It is a tough league to figure out. Coming up next, Gruden, Derek Carr, an anonymous source. It's not going to work. We'll talk about that next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Fox NFL Sunday is back this week with a great slate of early games. Then it's a blockbuster in America's Game of the Week as Brady and the New Look Bucks take on Breeze and the Saints. Check local listings for the games in your area or watch it on the Fox Sports app. So, Colin, let's get into one of your Super 6 picks for the week. Bucks-Saints is one of the matchups. Give us a winner and a final score.
I would probably take the Saints because they're more familiar with each other, winning a fairly close game. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of points. I think Brady's not going to have the crowd in the Superdome to deal with, so I think you're looking at 34-30 somewhere. I'd probably go with the more familiar Saints. That's my guess. By the way, a team I'm not high on at all is the Raiders. They have to move, and I think the Gruden-Derek Carr relationship is problematic. Very interesting. According to Mike Sando, who we trust, he writes very good articles. Execs and evaluators anonymously talked about what they expect with the 32 teams. Here's what they said about the Raiders, execs and evaluators. The quarterback is a little worrisome to me. He played well in that system, decent stats, but I don't recall being around an NFL quarterback who has to talk himself into being confident publicly. Confident players are confident players. Teammates feel it. Everybody sees it. With Carr, is he going to grow out of that and be a player who leads this team, or is Gruden's personality too strong for it? This is my issue, and I think this stuff matters. And I'll give you an example. Quarterback, head coach relationships matter. Gruden is blunt and demanding. Carr's more sensitive. If you go back and look at Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, Aaron's California cool, cocky. McCarthy's the Milwaukee cop. They wore each other out. John Elway and Dan Reeves. Elway was Stanford, West Coast, football family, big confidence. Dan Reeves, small southern town, played under Tom Landry, undrafted, very conservative. They wore each other out. Troy Aikman, buttoned up, all business, totally focused. Barry Switzer, really loose, kind of wild, really outspoken. It didn't work. Quarterback-coach relationship is vital. This one doesn't work for me. One guy's demanding blunt. The other guy a bit more sensitive, needs support, arms wrapped around him regularly. That's not what Gruden does. It is my concern, similarly, with Adam Gase and Sam Darnold. Adam Gase is intense and very rigid. If you watch Sam Darnold play, he plays a loose, fun game. He plays with a lot of feel. There's a lot of feel to his game. He's not a rigid player. Sam plays with a lot of feel. He's a let-it-rip guy. Adam is very rigid, very intense. This is the play. Do it this way. I don't think their relationship is great. Beyond the other Jet front office issues historically, roster issues, I don't think Gase and Darnold's personalities are perfect. And by the way, I have the Jets this year as much as I like Darnold. I think they're a 6-10 team. I think the Gase-Darnold relationship is off. I think Gruden and Derek Carr, it matters. It mattered for Elway and Reeves. He got better with a new coach. It mattered. Jimmy and Troy, similarly, focused, all business. Brady and Belichick, both driven, no nonsense, aspirational, all about the team. This is why Breeze and Peyton, totally intense, all football, creative, clever, risk takers. So I think the Raiders quarterback coach thing, I think it's problematic. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
It was a little New England flavor sprinkled around the Dolphins organization this year. Van Noy is one of them. Left New England to join the Dolphins this offseason. And he is looking forward to getting the chance to face off with his former team on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, going against them, they're familiar with me. I'm familiar with them. I'm excited for this task. You know, they've been talking trash the 4 years I've been there, so I'm excited to see if we both can back it up.
He was traded to the Patriots in October of 2016 and was with them through 2019, so won two Super Bowls with New England. Fox Bet has the Patriots favored at -6.5 against the Dolphins.
I don't like that number.
I don't either.
There's so many. You know, week one's always tough, especially with no preseason. I have no idea.
Week one is usually tough. Don't you usually avoid betting week one?
I've said before, last year I had a winning week one. I struggled down the stretch. But week one is tough, because and now we have no preseason
right.
And no fans. So it's are the home teams going to be flat because they need that juice and expect the juice of the home crowd, and it comes off like a scrimmage? I mean, I have no idea what we're getting.
I wonder if also because there are no fans, well, some places will eventually have fans. I'm not sure entirely
But there'll be no big home field advantage.
It's not going to be a big home field advantage. But I wonder because of that, because you generally don't pay too much attention to the sidelines during an NFL game. Like in NBA games, the bench has been huge for the energy of the players on the court because, you have a big play and it's like you usually turn to the crowd and get hype. Now you're like looking towards your bench and the bench is very emotionally involved in what's happening. So I wonder if you're going to have to be very engaged on the sideline now. Like when the defense is off the field, are they hyping up the offense? Like, what is that energy going to be like because there's no fans?
It's the big question mark. I don't have answers. I mean, it'd be one thing if we just didn't have fans, but we didn't have fans or OTAs or preseason. You know, I mean, it's just there's so many things. And then we also have, you know, there's going to be some, you know, are there going to be a player to protest the social injustice stuff? Some teams may be really into that. Other teams may be kind of head down. I don't know what I'm getting. I have no idea.
It's just, it's totally unprecedented for so many reasons.
Yeah.
So Super Bowl winning cornerback Aqib Talib has decided to retire from the NFL after 12 years in the league. And during his announcements on his new podcast, Call to the Booth, he revealed that before he chose to walk away, Bill Belichick called him and tried to convince him to join the Patriots this season.
He really wanted me to come in and strap tight ends. I was halfway out the door. I got flights. I started finding apartments. I kind of started going through that schedule. I kind of seen Kittles, and Kelsey, and Waller. I looked at this schedule. I said, oh, it's over with, Harris. Once I said that, once that negative thought crossed my mind, I was like, man, my heart, my competitive edge, like, I ain't really in it like that no more.
It's a very honest revelation.
No, and I like that he realized that. Like, it wasn't anything more than the minute I doubted it, that spoke volumes about where my heart was. Like, he had the self-awareness as a veteran player. This is what we always talk about. Self-awareness is big in sports.
Yes.
He acknowledged right away, oh, my God, that thought went through my head. I'm out. I'm done.
I remember we were interviewing Misha Tate on Undisputed, and that's when she said she realized she was done. But she was actually in the octagon when it came across her, like, I don't want to do this anymore, which is a really bad space to decide you don't want to fight anymore. But yeah, this is a very common, you know, if your body doesn't take you out of it, which happens to some guys, or you've just given all you can and you have, you know, your Super Bowls and it's just time.
Yeah.
This is one of those situations where it's like, yeah, I don't want to do it anymore. Like, he looked at the schedule, like, I don't feel like locking him down. Like, it's a very honest thing. And everybody realizes that at their own individual moment. Aqib is going to join us here on The Herd at 2:15 Eastern. So we can ask him about that. So finally, we've had a pretty uneventful bubble as far as the drama goes. However, Daniel House's status for the remainder of the Rockets conference semifinal series against the Lakers is in jeopardy as he is under investigation for a potential bubble violation. So we heard about this yesterday. Chris Haynes reported that he allegedly let a female COVID testing official into his hotel room. House has reportedly denied any wrongdoing, and the league is obviously investigating it and expected to make a ruling about his status before game four tonight. He was a late scratch in game three for personal reasons.
Okay, can I just... Do we have to use the word investigation?
Well...
That sounds like...
I mean, they do. They kind of have to investigate it. Like, they have to interview everyone and see... It's an investigation. I mean, it's not... Investigation sounds very serious, but this is a serious situation.
What if he made a mistake and somebody came in?
Well, yeah, listen. To be clear, I am not inferring anything. I have no sources. I am just telling you the story. I don't know. I don't personally care what went on. I'm just saying the league has to investigate it because they have to see if there was a bubble violation. Like, there's a reason why these rules are in place to keep everyone safe, and they've done an amazing job of doing that.
He's a young guy, probably got a little, you know, investigation sounds like, oh, literally, there was a shipment of meth that was delivered in his room.
Okay.
It sounds
the
so
league
serious.
Is looking into the matter.
A young male,
is that softer?
Full of testosterone.
I don't know what
felt lonely.
I don't know who was involved. I don't know if that was the situation or if.
Come on.
Like, I have no idea. I don't have any answers. All I'm telling you is what they are investigating. What Chris Haynes has reported. This is a big deal, though. He's averaging 11.4 points. He's their sixth man.
No, the series is over.
If he's not able to play and they have to put him in quarantine because of the bubble violations,
it's
a very big deal.
Series over.
So the Lakers have 2-1 series lead.
Yeah.
The Rockets cannot afford to lose him. So this is actually significant news for the Rockets if a violation from the league looking into it, if the league finds that there was protocols that were not followed, a softer way to put it.
When you're talking about kids, investigation
they're
would be...
They're not kids, they're grown men, and this investigation is just the way to say
so you're
you
saying investigation.
Because that's what's a better word.
How about the league is looking into
the
a possible...
The league is reviewing the circumstances surrounding this alleged violation.
It's a protocol misstep.
Perhaps.
Investigation
perhaps they are
is
looking into it.
Is like, yeah, we got there was
okay, but okay, fine. I'm with you. Investigation.
It sounds the appropriate term.
It sounds aggressive and very serious. However, this is a serious matter. We are talking about health. And they have these protocols in place for a reason. They've done an impeccable job. There's been no positive tests.
It just sounds the league's making this sound so serious.
It is serious.
He's a young man that's an alpha.
I don't know if there was even anything inappropriate that happened. That doesn't even mean that there was anything inappropriate that happened.
If my kids get a D on a class, we discuss it. There's no investigation.
You're not going to investigate how that happens?
Yeah, let's save investigations for the White House, political leaders, CEOs. The NBA is inquiring if a player
he's under investigation.
Violated.
It sounds very serious. The matter's being looked into. There we go. The matter's being looked into.
God, he's a kid.
He's not a kid. He's a grown man.
He's just a 25-year-old kid.
He's a grown man, but that doesn't matter. Under investigation is strong. While the correct term, they're looking into the matter. There we go.
Folks, people, you know, you can't be locked in a hotel for 9 weeks. This stuff happens. I'm just amazed the first time.
We don't even know if it happens. That's because they're looking into it.
All right. Enjoy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
All right, I got to get to Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush around the corner. Aqib Talib retired. He's joining us, too. Don't go anywhere. NFL season starts tonight.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
By the way, nothing against the Celtics and the Raptors, but I just can't. I watched that game last night, and it was fun. The last 11 NBA championships have been won by Kawhi, LeBron, or the West. This year we'll make it 12 out of 12. Nobody in the East is winning. It's like when I watch a Pac-12 football game. I'm like, oh my God, this is so fun. Oregon, Cal, double overtime. I know they can't beat Georgia and LSU and Bama or Clemson, but it's fun. Like I watched that game last night and I'm like, Kyle Lowry's not beating LeBron and AD four times. That's not happening. And he's not beating Kawhi Leonard and Paul George four times. That's not happening. Last 11 titles in the NBA. Last 11. Kawhi won, LeBron wins, or the West wins. It's going to be 12 straight. So I go back and look at what has happened in this league. Kawhi's winning the title. LeBron's holding the trophy or somebody out west. Now they're both out west. So the Eastern Conference now is very much Pac-12 football. It's fun. There are weekends I'm like, that's the most fun college football I watched. But I don't think it can beat Ohio State, Clemson, or Alabama. And I don't think Toronto doesn't have the guy. I mean, Pascal Siakam was very disappointing in this series. He hadn't given you a ton. So you're kind of depending on Lowry. Lowry ain't beating LeBron right now. You know, I got into this discussion the other day with somebody. It may have been you, Joy. Is that LeBron James? It was. So last year he got hurt. So for the first time in LeBron's life, after like 8 straight finals, he got like 3 months to just watch basketball. Then he comes back for the season. He plays real hard for 2 months. And we get 3 more months off. LeBron's never been this rested. He is totally rested. I mean, LeBron's been great, but there have been times over the last 5 or 6 years you're like, how does this guy keep going? God, it's another playoff run. It's another finals. The other night I'm watching LeBron, and I'm like, oh, my, he's the Energizer, buddy. It's like LeBron's body is – he's always been meticulous about his body, but he's just not playing very much in the last year and a half calendar year. So you're getting like – and you're getting LeBron chasing down – has anybody noticed how many shots LeBron has blocked in the bubble? Like LeBron, when LeBron broke into the league, his big thing for the first 5 years beyond his talent was he used to have these chase down blocks. It was his signature move. You know, Michael Jordan had the tongue and the mid-range game. LeBron would run, chase all-stars down the floor and swat your shot off the backboard. And after about year 6, 7, he stopped doing it because it's a lot of energy. And he became much more about growing his offensive game and in developing a three-point shot and developing a low post game after he lost the Mavericks. This is the first time in like 5 or 6, 7 years LeBron is back to blocking shots all over the court. It's because he's got energy. It's because he didn't play much of last year. He didn't play this year in the bubble. So now, like, even though it's year 17, I feel this is the freshest LeBron we have had in 4 years. He's not injured. He's totally healthy. He's got his most talented in his prime co-worker, Anthony Davis. Nobody, you think Jason Tatum and the Celtics are beating LeBron and AD four times? God, no. No, and they're not beating this Clipper team four times. So this is not, you know, and again, I can watch sports, Pac-12 football, and have a ball. Oregon beats Cal in double overtime, and I'm thinking, there's some NFL players on the field, but they're not beating Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama. That's how I feel about last night watching Boston and Toronto. Unbelievable game. Wildly entertaining. I mean, just, it was an appetizer. The main course is out west. By the way, Raycon's newest wireless earbuds, the Everyday E25 earbuds, best one yet, 15% off, buyraycon.com/herd. I want to talk a little Aaron Rodgers here, if I could. Aaron Rodgers said yesterday he believes the Packers are flying under the radar in 2020. And, you know, it's really interesting. 2 years ago, everybody brought this, Brady, Aaron Rodgers, who's the GOAT? And I said, timeout. Peyton Manning's not in that? Brett Favre isn't in that? I mean, Bradshaw, Aikman, come on. Montana, come on. We're moving way too fast on Aaron. He's halfway through his career. So I went this morning, Joy, and we looked up prime years. And when I mean by prime years, how many years have you been a great quarterback and you have been a top 2 to 3 quarterback in the league? Top one or two. Tom Brady, we counted this morning, 15. Dan Marino, 11. His knees fell apart late. Peyton Manning, 14 prime years. Elway, 15. Favre, 16. Breeze, about 12. 12 and a half, 13. Then we went and looked at Aaron Rodgers' 15 years in the NFL. His first three he didn't play. We're down to 12. His rookie year, he was 6 and 10. Didn't win a lot of games. Now we're down to 11. Take a year away, he got hurt. And the last 3 years, one an injured year, and the other two, he's had a clear decline in passing efficiency, completion percentage, quarterback rating. Aaron Rodgers' prime years, 8. And I don't, that's why I think this year for Green Bay is fascinating. Like, I don't consider him as good as Mahomes. I don't consider him as dynamic as Lamar Jackson. I do not consider him right now as complete as Russell Wilson, who I think is getting better, not worse. And then we got all these guys, when they're healthy, like a Carson Wentz, that were like, whoa, this is kind of special. So I think this year is fascinating for him. 2 years ago, when I pushed back on Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, who's the GOAT? And I'm like, whoa. Today, it's very possible his prime years, he had 8 of them, which is about half of Brady. And Tom Brady had 3 Super Bowls before Aaron was drafted. And this morning, most people in the NFL think Tom has a better chance to win one this year. So the argument was always absurd. And I've also made the point is, I think Aaron's first 7 years in the league, he was better than Russell Wilson. I think 2 years ago, Russell Wilson became the better of the two. And now everybody else is finally going, Coward's right. I think Russell has surpassed him. I think Russell's the best football player in the world. Mahomes is the greatest quarterback talent. I don't think Russell can do certain things Patrick can. The difference is, I think line of scrimmage, efficiency, I get all the playmaking with Russell, and I get that. With Mahomes, I get playmaking, and his efficiency will just get better, maybe by the end of this year. But it is, it's kind of, I think it's fascinating to watch. You know, Aaron no longer has the ring argument. He's got one. And a lot of people don't think, myself included, they're going to get to another one. He doesn't have the stats argument. What the argument for Aaron now is, he is super efficient. Now, just think about that. 2 years ago, you were all over me when I wouldn't buy into Brady Rodgers, who's the GOAT. Today, Aaron Rodgers' go-to tag is, he's really efficient. He doesn't throw interceptions. It's not touchdown passes. Those are declining. It's not passer rating. That's coming down. Not completion percentage. Instead of the GOAT conversation, it's, you know, he's very efficient. He never makes the big mistake. So I think this is a fascinating year for Aaron Rodgers. Have we kind of seen it? With all these, remember, he comes from a different generation. The generation of quarterbacks entering the NFL the last 4 to 5 years, it's the 11-on-11 camp kids. It's the 12,000 snaps by the time you're 13 years old kids. This new generation of quarterbacks, not only are many more talented, they're better, faster, with more snaps taken by the time they're 12 to 15 years old. So this generation now, it's getting good, really, really. I mean, small school guys. Kyler Murray was a baseball guy. Well, Wyoming guy. Lamar Jackson is just a running guy. You wake up and you're like, oh, my Lord, these guys are playoff quarterbacks. So I think the Aaron year is really fascinating. Can't wait to watch. I have him making the playoffs, winning 10 games. But have we seen by far and away the best? MDriveForMen.com. Check out Boost and Burn. Burns muscle. Burns fat. More muscle. MDriveForMen.com. Hour 3 next.